the one place that most people got nailed was on the translation of number two.
Maybe that time you went for that walk by the creek.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. Remember when you came over to us and played with the puppets and you
How is it staying up next?
Let's do it.
You make her get up.
And what could I do?
We left off on number nine. We did number eight, I think, on part C of lesson 26 exercises. Then we did that one, number eight. The prophet said, he said, the eagle that came and God smote you and your son because he did not hear his voice, the voice of the prophet, and did not keep his man from the law. Okay, so I think number nine is up next. And Doug, maybe you can introduce to the realm of Hebrew for today, right?
Number nine,
C. Yeah, number nine, part C, page 121.
Okay. I'm sure it was in the right chapter.
Okay, yeah, that's 26, yeah. They all kind of all look alike.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah. Take hold of half the money for you and then give half to me. Give to me the other half.
Yes, right, good. Now seize or take hold of half of the money or the silver for yourself or for you, and then give to me the other half. Okay, and we have constitution here because we have imperative and then followed by a perfect conditional. So he is giving him grace and saying, you can keep, you take the first half of yourself first and then give him the other half. Okay, it's like Don says, well, they ought to divide it into two piles. First, let's get a man choose. Make sure to get the right half. Make sure the halves are equal. Yes, Peter?
I thought that Echoes was a first person.
What was that?
I thought it was first person. I
Oh.
But it did make any sense.
Yeah.
Doesn't that...
Yeah, well, yeah, the problem is that you got the verb form, you do get some confusion here, but it's because, let me see here, the first person form would probably get a lengthening or something, and you can find an example like this. Akkad, but it doesn't really give you the, it's got a mixed form. Akkad is a mixed form. And the imperfect third person is yo teis, but it's also got ye echos. So I'm not sure what the first person form is going to do. They don't get a paradigm for it here. So the first person form would probably either get a tseri under the analogy of what happens to the other one, or stay, it'd either be okays or it would be echos probably. I'm only guessing because we don't really have the paradigm here, and we may not even have those forms. But this would be the imperative form. And it's admittedly somewhat confusing because the verb is a one-olive verb. And I don't know if the back gives you a full paradigm for this or not, since if we try to look it up. Or
in the imperative, isn't this one of those where you don't get it? Well, it's not imperative. It's when it's first person, it's cohortive verb.
Right, yeah. First person would be cohortative, and that would be a different situation.
Wouldn't that look like this?
Well, perhaps, but it would probably, you'd have a comma say in the ending, and that might shorten this down. But that comma say would tell you that it was cohortative.
Okay, that's
That might shorten it down.
But it doesn't always have that.
No, it doesn't always have that. But then if it doesn't have that, it's going to look like it would probably have a lengthened form under this olive of some sort. It would either have a cholam on it, or a... No, what was that? Sorry. It'd either be okay, something like that. The thing is mixed form, so I can't really tell you what it's going to do. I wish I could, unless it's written that in a paradigm back there someplace fully. You may be stuck with looking at the analytical or something to find this out. And it seemed like we looked up one of those and didn't find. Anybody remember what the paradigm for? We might have to. Let's see if we can find it back here and see if they give you. I'm just curious as to how much information they give you in here. Sometimes they give you the whole work, sometimes they don't give you hardly anything. So, okay, it's supposed to be B4B. I think we did look at that before. I don't think that's the same.
How do you find where it is in the
text? Well, sometimes if you've got it in the text, you can find it in there. And in the English ones, you would just find it under dictionary form, but it won't give you all the forms. One way you could do it is use English ones, look up akkad, and then look down the examples if you can find any that in the English translation give it a first person form. I will see you do something like that. Then look up those in the text to find out what the form is. Okay, let me see if I can
do it. That's the goal. That's the imperative.
Yeah, that's one we've got, the imperative. What we're wondering is what would be the first person imperfect form? And so then have it. So I really can't tell you what to do. Since it's mixed, if it wasn't mixed, you'd probably figure it out, but maybe you can get around it because it's not. It's the form's never used in the old test.
For ahab here, they give two of them, so
right.
They must be indicating that it can be either, or that it occurs as both.
Yeah, it could. It probably occurs as both.
So maybe it does that on.
Yeah. And then that's the only thing. If the forms occur in the text under the analogy of what happened to ahab, then I would assume that either the first person form would either be something like a chos using a tseri and then a cholam there, or it would be okays, under the analogy of what's happening here. So
that's
either a chos or okays.
That's pretty, you just mixed that, didn't you?
Couldn't it be a chos?
It'd be papa. Because
well, yeah, but you have to remember that
papa both times.
Yeah, you have to remember that Ahav has got the papa type, and Ahaz apparently is going to have a full type of perfect.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to make a difference. See, just looking at this mixed form here, it looks like it's got a full type of perfect, whereas Ahav had a papa type of perfect. So see, they get yet echoes under that analogy. Of course, you're having to do a little guessing here to tell which of the two mixed forms is. You know, he could mix the mixed forms, but I didn't.
Yeah.
So that makes it a very inexact science. Unless somebody's got the, you know, text and finds it in the text. Did you find something there?
I don't think the analytical
okay.
For the form we have here, it says it's the imperative that we have.
Yeah, okay.
But then a little bit above it has achas with the comment of the yellow. And
yeah.
Pasach. It says how future sent you for certain things going forward.
Oh, boy.
So that's what we're told you.
That's really mixed. So they went to a comment. They did link it. So it's comment under the olive.
It says something like
and Pasach under the mix?
Yeah. Apok for. And yes. Achaze. Koma. Echele.
Probably the forms we should expect.
Boy, that must be a big bird, though. We've got to try to get a hay in the end.
Good thing, Lachach is the same thing.
Okay. That means cut off. Means they chopped off the end of it. Now, that's... You know what that probably is, though? That's probably the verb chazah.
Oh, yeah.
See, yeah, and the aleph is the preformative. It's probably from
so the other four first singular things
apparently
even occurred. What did the... What was the root?
Yeah, I just saw that it was
chazah. Yeah, chazah would be root. A pocket form, then they chop off the A on the end of it. We haven't got the three A's in the perfect yet, so we really haven't looked at these yet. So see, that's where you get into you don't know whether the aleph is a preformative aleph or if the aleph is the first letter of the root consonant, but it's also, since the preformative on that kind of merges with it, you can't see the difference, and then you should get a lengthening or something out there. When you first read that, I thought, well, maybe this thing linked into a comment. That would really be a mixed form. I mean, that would really be different than any of these. But apparently, that's from a different verb form. Pocket theater from another one. This is the most difficult area, I suppose. You're dealing with imperatives and imperfects of verbs that are, you know, one aleph or three a's or hollow. Those are the most difficult areas because sometimes you only have two of the original consonants left, and sometimes it's because they propagated the hay off the end, sometimes it's because they merged an olive, two olives in the front. When you get to one yod, you have the same problem just because with the yod prefix, sometimes it merged with the yod of the stem, and those are the difficult areas. So sometimes, no matter how much you know or how familiar you are, you start to find yourself looking at those word forms. I think Elias, made it pretty clear that sometimes you see something and you can speak Hebrew all your life and still wonder what you're looking at. So take heart. It is difficult, but you're not expected to be able to figure everything out at first glance.
The conclusion then that we could confuse that with the perfect?
Well, I think you could. The vowel points are supposed to help you, but... if the vowel points aren't there, what they're really on this particular word, I doubt that whatever that did, it probably did something different. You know, otherwise you'd have the exact same form. The vowel might be in the second position, but if it was, then you'd probably have a theory in the first position. And if you left the cup at the goal, it probably wouldn't be a cup at the goal in the first position, at least not in the analogy of Ahav. That seems to be the only thing we've got to keep close to. You would probably either go with, if you kept the kolam, then you'd go with Zeri in the first position, length of that. Otherwise, you might go with kolam in the first position, and then probably a Zeri or something like that in the second position. Analogy of the fact that he does give some mixed forms for the imperfect for achaz. I'm trying to combine what happens with achaz, knowing that that's a papak type, and achaz, which is the colon type, yeah. With the fact that we give two imperfect forms forms here, and I'm just trying to deduce from that, but you can't always deduce with any degree of certainty.
Well, yeah, it would seem like it, to me, it probably lengthens the stereo and leaves the colon.
Mm-hmm.
So it probably do.
Well, let's see. We've got your case there too as a mixed form, so you don't know whether it's picking up on that side or the other side. If yeah, kolos is the form, then you probably see a kolos, seri, lengthened seri, and a kolos. That'd probably be the first option, most natural one. But then this other one with the quiz and all, you don't know for sure what's going to be there. Okay. So suffice it to say, this is an imperative form. We don't know what the imperfect would be, but it's probably not this.
Right.
All right, number 10. Who's up next, Jim?
Lo tokelu meo hashamayim.
Yes.
Do not eat of the birds of the air.
Yeah, do not eat of the birds of the air. Okay. And what kind of a prohibition is this? Of the more of a long term or immediate?
That's
just how we have
immediate.
Made a contingent on whether you have low or all for the negative.
Oh.
Form of the verb would be said to be a perfect
verb.
Okay. The law would be more of a long-range derivative type of thing, whereas all is more immediate, short-term.
Is that an old cat thing?
No, I think it was okay. Listed in that. When we first had the imperfect, no, it was imperative.
I get it.
Page 114?
Okay.
Right. Good page finders here.
Yeah.
Sounds like you've had a lot of experience with doing these exercises.
Well, yeah.
Exactly where. I was pretty good at it the first time I went through this book, but now I'm a little rusty on it. I haven't been doing this as recently. But just before section 103, the last few statements of section 102, I guess near the top, A is all but the perfect for immediate specific commands. Low but for these derivative non specific. Okay, number 11.
Also for that, you will not eat the
person's
guy.
Well, yes, it could still be a prediction. You will not do this. You will not eat the birds of this heaven. Could be understood that way. But it still ends up as being pretty much a command. God says you will not do this. You know, it seldom is going to be much of a difference. Okay, number 11. What's that? Which has the on end? Oh, I see. If you're talking about a coordinate form that has to come maybe. No, if it's got the coordinate form, then there won't be any question about it. Definitely the coordinate. See, he's talking here about in number 10. Oh, you're looking at number 11? Okay. No, there's no, but this is form is the, it could be considered an indirect imperative or it could be considered a, but the normal way of negating the imperative, you don't see a negation, you don't see a low on an imperative form. In other words, you go back to the imperfect form that you want to negate, which is pretty much a testimony that they're very rarely using a negative prediction. You know, I mean, a negative second person statement in the future, you will not do something. If they're able to get by without ever using a negative form on the imperative and always using the imperfect, they must not be using it very commonly any other way. Otherwise, you'd have a lot of ambiguity. And like I said, too, there's not gigantic ambiguity. The meaning ends up being very similar. Okay, number 11, then, Tony?
No mora. Ha'evoda, Kasha, Shemenu.
Right.
I have, we will speak to the king because the servant was hard, either on us or from us.
Okay, well, hard from us, yeah, hard for us, too difficult for us would probably be the best way to render it in English. It's difficult from us, literally.
Yeah.
But if we have something similar on the test here, a lot of people got deceived by, I think. But the word work is, instead of servant, it's work. You know, it's the same, they come from the same root. So the work is too hard for us, the work is too difficult for us. And this first form, you want a cooperative form here. So it would be better to say something, let us say to the king, or let us speak to the king, because or that the work is too difficult for us. So you might say, depending on whether you say speak or say, whether you're going to say because or that. You need to be, let us speak to the king because the work is too difficult for us. Or let us say to the king that the work is too difficult for us. Either way.
So one of them is giving you the text of the message, and one of them is giving you the motive for.
Yeah, right. Right. And it's a little bit ambiguous the way the wording is, exactly which.
Could they ever use lay more in there? To say, let us speak to the king.
Saying, yeah, sure, you sure could. Yeah.
That would come across as mm-hmm. saying.
Yeah, you could say, let us speak to the king, saying, lay more, and then just make. You wouldn't have a that anymore. You
take
say,
the key out.
Work is too difficult for us. Yeah.
Take the key out. Put in the morning.
Right. And that's the quotation. And then you could just say,
I guess I've never seen it used with the first person. Let us say.
And
they said.
That's what we've been used to. But this is the same kind of thing to be done. Okay, number 12, Peter.
Yohanu, yet, Hazahar, Wina Hanu, Bobo, Laherim.
Okay.
He will seize the gold and then give it to the others.
Okay, but you want plural. They
will seize the gold.
Yeah, they will seize the gold and then give it to the others. Right. They will seize the gold and then give it to the others. Okay, and then it is constitution again here because we've got the imperative and then, just an imperfect and then followed by a converted perfect. Okay, questions anyone?
Yes.
Yeah.
The old school?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, let's see. It's referring back to gold.
Okay.
It's the direct object of give. It's the, you know, give it to the others. I mean, it's not him, but it's the goal. And you have to watch those because I suppose, really, it would be very awkward. You know, they probably would never say it this way because it'd be confusing. But if you were talking about, well, you had a certain scenario constructed in the context such that, there's a man sitting here as a prisoner or something like that, and it's a pot of gold here, and they're coming into the tent or something, here they are, and they will seize the gold and give him to the others, you know? There was a him there seizing the gold, you know? I mean, it's possible that could mean that, but in just a simple sentence like this, it's highly unlikely. And even if that were to be said, they probably would qualify it better, so they would be confused. Because the old goal would be naturally understood as the end of the goal. Yes.
You're saying this is consequentially that
right.
It depends on how you take it. If you just take it as a statement, that, as far as I remember, it doesn't have to be consequential.
Well, it wouldn't have to be, except that you did start here with a this does fulfill all the qualifications for a sequence. Because you're starting with an imperfect form, and then the very first, you know, the statement of the next clause is a converted perfect.
Mm-hmm. So if you take the imperfect as an imperative, it would be.
Well, if you took it as an imperative, an indirect imperative, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, if you took it as an indirect imperative. Well, let's see. Yeah, you still, no, you're still going to, yeah, it's still going to have a sequential situation, though. The imperative plus perfect is still going to be sequential.
Yeah,
you can compare it and see if the next one, if the next one was, if you didn't want to have it sequential, you'll have imperative and then follow with imperatives with the normal form of the conjunction.
It's not, it doesn't fit number B, but it is a sequence by other definitions.
It's not technically an imperative form. But if you took it as a mild imperative, you still end up with this.
But I think we haven't used this term constitution before.
We really didn't. We kind of defined it. It was the focal point of everything before. It wasn't kind of a peripheral thing. This just fulfills the normal while consecutive series, starting with an imperfect and then a perfect. So we're translating, they will seize the gold and then give it to the others, you see. You started a narrative sequence. If, on the other hand, suppose I wanted to say they will seize the gold and they will give it to the others, and not necessarily imply a constitution there, not necessarily imply that one thing followed the other, then I would just use imperfects for both of them and use the normal form of the
It's just that, for example, just here an example, they will burn the city and take captive people.
Mm-hmm.
The first is an imperfect, the other is a converted perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That implies their constitution, that they first burned the city, and then when the city was burned down, all the people in his
body,
they were taken captive.
Well, I suppose that might be awkward, but the way he structured it is indicating this sequence. Yeah. I think what they may mean, though, is that they didn't burn the city with the people in it. They got the people out, and they burned the city, and then when they managed to take captive, it was probably talking about the fact that they hauled them over to their old country and made them slaves there. That's usually what they mean by that. Not the actual grabbing hold of them, pulling them out of the city, but the actual carrying them into the land and making them slaves.
A lot of these sentences remind me of Sunday school lessons with I.D. Vigil.
Uh-huh.
You can't complete the sentence. You put down the narrative and you say, and then you get up this other picture.
Yeah.
And first you say, and they burned the city and you put up this picture of the city all in flames.
Uh-huh.
And then you say, and they carried up, you pick up this other picture, and it shows them marching off some people in chains,
mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a sequence, I kind of think, or like a bunch of slides or something.
Mm-hmm.
Going through picture by picture.
Yeah, that's what things intended to imply. In the narrative sequence, so.
Besides, the constitution is with an imperative, not with just an imperfect.
And mm-hmm. That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an imperative.
Yeah, this is not an imperative.
One, but
so it's not an example of sequence two, there are B here. It's the only way to do it is consider this as an indirect imperative. Let's see, a third person, they will seize, and so it would have to be justice at the best. And if you had justice, and then if you had a justice and continued it with an imperfect, then you'd have this sequence C here, and you would have you'd have something like they will seize the gold in order to give it to the others or something, and that would give you a little bit different idea. So they go ahead and use the narrative sequence there.
And what made me wonder is just that you didn't really mentioned that when we had the
There wasn't a lot of emphasis on that. We had more emphasis when we were going perfect and then perfect.
So I wondered if it was only through the sequential part about imperatives, or it was generally through about those sequences.
Yeah. The thing is, it's a narrative sequence. The major thing to watch to show a narrative sequence is converting the tense ideas from perfects to imperfects, or imperatives to perfects. Say perfect, imperfects to perfects. Perfects to imperfects, imperatives to perfects, something where you're getting a fundamental change in that tense idea. That's the thing where you're starting to set up the sequence.
And they both imply that one thing is done after
the other. Right, right. One thing's done after the other. That's the mechanism for showing that.
Okay.
And if they don't want to show that one thing's following another, then they won't change the tense idea.
Mm-hmm.
They will just keep it the same, and then just use work in the normal sense.
Okay.
So that's the basic philosophy behind it. If you keep that in mind, I think you'll always recognize when you're dealing with sequence. Okay? Anyone else? Okay. Now we do get the hard part here. Let us close the gates and remain in the city until morning. Let's see. We'll take some brain souls here. Are you hearing? Okay. This is definitely the harder way to go.
Nisgira etta hasharim.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes,
or Ad Haboker. You could probably do it either way, with or without the article here. Either until the morning or until morning. Probably see it both ways. Okay, good. Nitzgara, and that'd be your coordinative form, plural coordinative form from Sagar. And to close. So Nitzgara, that would be spelled Nun with a Herik, Samak with. Gate, and you get the propertonic reduction there. And then you go to a perfect form, assuming that you're going to close the gates and then remain in the city until morning. Okay? So you go to a converted verb. That's what they're looking for here. So normal form of the conjunction was, but yashabnu, just your straightforward, simple perfect form. Ba'ir Boker. Any questions? Good. Number two. Why did he break the tablets and say that we had sinned against the Lord? Eric?
Nama Shabar et ha Lulafot Bu Yomar Ki Hatamu Layabit.
Okay. Good. So Lama Shabar et halukot vayomar ki katanu leyava. Leyava. You probably just put a shawa in there too, you know, because in the book they always put asa, because they're thinking of pronouncing it out of an I. So since we pronounce it yawa, you should put le there. Okay. And vayomar, why vayomar instead of vayomar? The difference between indirect quote and direct quote. There's been any discussion of that? I don't think
right at the top of 120. What does need stand at the end of a clause immediately preceding what is said at the regular form?
Mm-hmm.
With pathak maybe.
Yeah, but the trouble is he's given you an indirect quotation to in English to translate into Hebrew. Hebrew, there's really not much, no difference between the indirect and the direct quotation. That's the problem. But since we have key here, I guess with the key you could have a slight difference here. I'm not sure right here. I guess the reason I had Wyomer is just simply because the thing that's said immediately follows, even though you do have an indirect quotation key, cut out. If you had something like you said in the hymn or something like that, and had the quote, and had the hymn breaking it up, then you probably have Wyomer. So I think you better be best with Wyomer here in this case. Although I'll admit that it's a bit awkward here, and there may be, it may in fact go to Wyomer. I'm not positive on this one. He just has given enough information.
Well, within the exact quote, wouldn't it be more along the lines of, why did he break the tablets and say, you have sinned against the Lord?
Right. Yeah. If it were a direct quote, you'd change the person. So what? It is an indirect quote. The question is, on an indirect quote, are you going to use Wyomer or Wyomar? And there's probably not a giant issue anyway, because sometimes you won't be consistent with that anyway. So I think on a test, I wouldn't count you wrong either way. But I'm not sure if we can even find an answer to this question.
Just looking next.
Yeah, but can the text and see if it ever comes up that way?
Well, when he's saying here immediately preceding what is said, that would mean to admit nothing in between not even the key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think under those, under that, that's the thing to kind of wrestle with, because you could consider what is said, if it, you know, the whole thing, but of course you're not going to use the word that in an actual direct quotation.
Right.
But you would use the word that if it were an indirect quotation. Indicate that.
But an indirect quotation would have,
it's still giving information for what it said. So that's the problem I'm wrestling with here. Let's go ahead and take it either way for now and watch for it when we run into text. I don't think we're going to find an answer for it in the pages here. But I think it's just something, you just may not have anticipated the problem when you wrote the exercise. But yeah. This class is picking, it's good to have students that are, we're picking out problems that previous classes never picked out, never problems that we never thought about that deep. So that's encouraging, but of course then you end up with more questions than that.
I have a question number one.
Yeah. Go ahead, John.
On that third date.
Yes.
You're saying that it's that deep night, super night, you got finished.
Well, let's see, I had Hasha Arim. What was the, did it start with Papa? It was two commas, wasn't it?
Two Papa.
Oh, two Papa. Oh.
Seglet.
Okay, Seglet, that's the reason. Okay. Seglet, so you get Shawa Kama pattern. All Seglet. So that's the reason. Not three times reduction. Thank you. Yes, but it is a Shawa Kama.
Like, why do they call it Seglet?
From the proper time. The basic problem is the majority of the nouns in this category have goals or at least one of the goals. And so they got the term segula for it, and then it includes the one with Papa. They got that also.
But it's the duplicated Papa that makes it.
Right.
Not just
It's not just any other Papa, right. Not ours, another one like this. And more than anything else, it's penalty and stress. If you don't have penalty and stress, it's not this category. Okay. Good. Thank you for that correction. All right. Red form for the wrong reason. All right. Number three. Remember these words lest you sin. That is up next. Right?
Zikru, Hadabarim, Ava. And I just caught the mistake. It has to be a perfect
thing. Right.
So it would be.
And this wasn't easy to find either. I mean,
I guess I'd say.
Page 115 is where you'll find it. Here. It's a one guttural and a three olive. So you get a lot of complications. They're not that bad, but
so I guess that'd be something like
Well, there's no, you want third person plural.
Oh.
I mean second person plural. Second person plural. Masculine plural too.
But I want to say
when
I
want to
tell
them
the game.
Yep. Tower of the goal. Oh. Yes. Check at two.
Oh,
well, I'll be. Oh, wait a minute. No, okay. Yeah, you're. Yeah, that's right. Lest you sit. Right. Assuming you're talking to. Yeah, it started out telling you that. Okay, we're all right. Tech at 2. Okay, the only thing you forgot was an S. I had to write a lot of S in on that test. That's probably one of the single common errors. That and that was probably one of the main most common ones, but it was that vocabulary and then getting the wrong tenses on the that last one where you had a sequence. So if you've got perfect grace, you have a perfect express person. Okay, yeah, so the Zikru et Adivarim Wa'ela Ha'ela Ten Tekhet 2 Ten Tekhet 2
had used it.
Okay, number four. He loved the woman because she was beautiful in appearance.
Jealous?
What was the first verb?
First verb, Zikru. Zikru. I guess the name is beautiful. Will Zik? No, it's Zikru.
Zikru. So it's Hirik and Shua.
Yeah, Hirik and Shua are the cops.
You should all take it too.
Okay, the Tao was Dagesh and Sigol. Faith was Sigol. Faith with Shua, Aleph, and Shura.
So I need the eighth, it's the girl.
What's that? The Chatzim is Shura.
Under which now?
Yeah.
Under the K.
Yeah, it's a full Sigol because you get two rules of Shua in a row. That's four. Most of them had a Chatzim Sigol. But on this particular one, it was a Sigol. The reason is that you have a Shua on the top. And that would require you. You couldn't have a Chatzim Shua. I mean, a Chatzim Sigol on the tape because that would be effectively two Shua's in a row.
Right.
So you got to lengthen that to the full vowel, of course, part of the
tape. Then you just two.
Yeah, so you get two rules of Shua in a row.
So then with two Sigols in a row, you look for a Shani somewhere, but
yeah.
You haven't done.
Well, so be it. Okay? I'm sure they chose that form on purpose, but you have to notice that. Any other questions on that one? Okay, then number four, he loved the woman because she was beautiful. Here, John.
Ahav
es
isha ki he yafa b'mara.
Yes, b'mara. Okay, you should have the you love the woman, so it should be ha'isha. Yes, ha'isha.
Mm-hmm.
You got the yes, and you didn't get the art and the definite. So many things there. Ahav es ha'isha ki he yafa b'mara. Okay. You need the he there. Did have a pretty good discussion here.
I
know. He is she. Okay. Number five. Oh, boy.
Did you go over four?
I don't think we're going to have time. Yeah, we'll talk about that time. Yeah, question. You want to repeat
the
repetition on that?
Yeah, just the verb form.
The verb form for the first one? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Ahav, just the perfect form. Yeah, just as simple as you can get. Probably the only simple form that you have. The he loved. So Thomas and Papa. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, Phil, we gotta try to give him a break here.
Oh, you can let me try.
Okay, well, okay, go ahead. Take it.
Okay. Zikra'u S. Big Dehem. Al Hayom Hahu Ki. Esru Ha'oyev Otham Wa Halaku Im Ha Asir Asirim Acharim El El Eretz Acheres, Yashavu, Sham, Shanim, Rabim.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Shanim Rabim. I think it's just. Did you say Shanim?
Yeah, I think I did.
Okay. I think it should be Shanim Rabim. Okay. Good. Sounds real good. Any questions, anybody? Yeah, I better go through it.
I am. You should go through it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, we start out. They will tear their garments on that day. So you've got Yikra'u. Yes. Big Day M. Remember, Begit was the word for garments. You have to kind of see what it's going to do. Those segues again, now when they get the suffixes on, this double long suffix, and then that's to get the hearing. So you had to look up to be sure.
That was
not
a
good one. What's that?
Not a
It's automatically definitely good. So ask Big Day him. And then you could have had either Bayom or Al Hayom. He said Al Hayom on that day. Or you could just say Bayom in that day as opposed to. Although I think Al Hayom is actually better. Ahu, Ki. Now here, the enemy will bind them. This could go either way. Whether you take enemy, let's see, I think you said, yeah, that's rude, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did you have, or you mean plural or singular?
I had singular.
You had singular.
So.
Yeah, you probably, now I don't know if Hebrew will do this in English though. You see, enemy can be kind of a collective. And in English, you could say enemy singular and still have a plural idea in the verb. You know, the enemy will do this and they will do this and they will do this. So that would be all right. I'm not sure if Hebrew uses this collectively or not. I just have to look at examples. I know they have a plural way of these. So it's a little bit questionable, I suppose. But I just have the singular here just to avoid the question. You know, for the enemy will bind them. Although, obviously, it's not just one enemy that's going to bind all of the people. So it's being taken in a collective sense. So I think that... I think you're pretty safe either way in Hebrew. If you take it singular, you're taking it collectively. Otherwise, take it plural. So if you said Ye'ezru, then you could say Ha'oyedim. Or if you just said Ye'ezor, use the singular, Ye'ezor Ha'oyed. Either way would be all right. Ye'ezor Ha'oyed or Ye'ezru Ha'oyedim. And then Otham, the direct object, bind them. And now, and they will go, and we have a different... we'll get third person plural, and go to perfect now, because we're assuming the sequence, narrative sequence here. So with halachu, the zihad, im, with, ha, asirim, the prisoners, acharehem, others, than the other prisoners. So ha, asirim, acharehem. And any of any one of those? Okay. Ha'arekim would be A with commas because of the Aleph now. A with commas. That's your sheer article. Aleph with Katef Patach. Faith with Seri. Reish with Yerik Yod with me. Ha'arekim. Okay. And then we'll do the prisoners to another country. El Eretz Acheret. Now this is something a little tricky because it is Eretz is a feminine noun. We're going to need the feminine form of that adjective, if you want to call it that. Another. And they either gave us two in vocabulary or gave you a paradigm or something for that. Does anybody remember where it was? I'm sure you had it somewhere. Yeah, in the vocabulary, that's just the feminine form, the Akhara, feminine singular. And then continuing your narrative sequence with perfects. Yashavu, Endwell, Sham, Shanim, Rabot. Shanim, Rabot. Is that right? Is it Shanim or Shanim? I forgot my myself.
Shanim.
Yeah, Shanim, okay. Let's double check. If there is creep in there. Okay?
Question?
Yes.
What did you say the form for other on other prisoners was?
Other prisoners? I had Acharehem. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Ha'akerim. Ha'akerim.
Okay. Ha'akerim.
Ha'akerim. Yes.
For another.
Oh, I'm coming in here.
Yeah.
The Aleph with Pasak, Faith with Segol, Reish with Segol, and Tav. This is a pattern that we haven't seen too much of, but you'll see more of. It's a construct, not a real unusual construct pattern for feminine nouns, just types of feminine nouns. I think even this next lesson, you're going to get a few. Yeah, feminine nouns ending in S and R. So we'll see from section 111. Okay, any other questions?
Okay, you could say many years, way out there.
Yeah, it's just Shanim Ravot, many years.
If I was doing years, I was thinking of four, then perhaps
it is. Oh. Yeah, that's usually just misunderstood from the way it's done. It's just understood, but primarily because of the fact that it's an adverbial modifier. agenda for the four. I don't know what you would say for, you know, they put four in parentheses because they told you not to, I try to find a word for the word four.
Oh, yeah, I found a word for it.
Oh, you did? What was it?
I put la, chanin, two or four.
Oh, two, okay, la chanin. It's a slightly different picture, though. They don't usually use that for duration. That would be more of a, you know, you're directing the action. It's a more of an indirect object type of sense, or perhaps a, what else do we do with that?
Do we get another preposition for until?
Odd is what I was thinking of. It might be
until
many years have transpired, or something like that. It might be, but your normal form of seeing this is just shunning rubble. Not put anything else down because it's an automatically temporal type of an idea, and they don't like to use any more words than they need. Although for many of us they use plenty. Okay, lesson 27. Then next on the right. No, this is a little bit different than what we just talked about. This is dealing with narrative sequences again. And so in your first statement, it's within a narrative sequence. So we're only talking about within a narrative sequence now. We're not talking about something else. We're not talking about just ordinary statements. We're talking about within a sequence. Within a narrative sequence, temporal modifiers are very frequently placed before the clause they modify and are introduced by while conversive plus a form of the verb haya. And this is a construction that takes a little getting used to, just because if we translate it real straightforward literally, it doesn't make a lot of sense in there. There is a way to see the picture, but it's not immediately obvious to the English mind. And I don't know if the other students would, you know, the German or Swedish or anything would have anything analogous to this or not. You'll have to speak up if they do. But in the past tense narrative, this is uniformly yhi, which is from Yahi, which is the imperfect form of Haya. We haven't really had Haya, the pre-imperfect, yet, for obvious reasons. One hey, a three hey, and a two yos, you know, so it's got about every weakness you can find. So what we'll consider that in the imperfect later on. But Yahi is the form that, third person singular form in the imperfect. And so, in the past tense, this is introduced by a converted imperfect form of haya. And then in the future, or habitual durative, the narrative, it is wuhaya. That's just the converted perfect form. But of course, the form of the conjunction isn't any different. And it's only converted perfect if it's in a sequence. Of course, it could be just an ordinary perfect, you know, conjunction with another perfect, and it wouldn't be converted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the temporal clause is then followed by the expected sequential form of the narrative. Of the main narrative. So you go ahead and continue. Since this thing is being introduced already with a while consecutive type of form, you can go ahead and continue now with what you would expect in the narrative, in the main narrative. So, in other words, if the narrative has been going along with imperfect, you know, converted imperfect, you can just continue to convert it imperfect as long as you're just staying in the sequence. So, in effect, this is almost a way to keep a sequence going and not break the sequence up because of a temporal modifier. They'll go ahead and use the form of haya in the same sequence that they expect and get a temporal modifier in there without breaking the sequence. That's effectively what's happening. About the only way to get a handle on this is to look at the examples. Study the following examples carefully. All are taken as though embedded in a narrative. So assuming that these are all contained within the narrative, in other words, that there's been some other verb that started the sequence and it's a continuation of it. Okay, now look at this first one. Waihi baboker waishlak. And in the morning he sent, the way they're translating it. How would you say this? How would you translate this very literally? Okay. Well, yeah, it would be, and he was, or and there was in the morning, and he sent. So it's almost like they're saying, and there was in the morning, and he sent. That's a little bit awkward to us. But it's almost like, sometimes in the King James they say, and it came to pass.
That's the morning.
Yeah, and it came to pass in the morning that he sent. They would say that. That's a very common way to translate this. It came to pass in the morning that he sent. It's still not quite real literal because they say that he sent. We wouldn't normally say he came to pass in the morning and he sent. But the idea is that the Hebrew idea seems to be something like this. The state of being in the morning happens, and he said,
yeah.
Okay, that's kind of what the best way I can think of to express it,
or something like it was in the morning.
Yeah, it was in the morning, and he said, yeah, this would be, you could do that in some of them, sure. It was in the morning, and he said, that's probably pretty close.
And it was but, out of these things,
mm-hmm.
he heard a voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was after these things, and he heard a voice. We can do it that way. And it's a little bit tougher in the next one, though.
It was when he saw them, he cried out.
Well, then, yeah, it was when he saw them, he cried out, but it was when he saw them and he cried out. I suppose we could even do that. It's getting a little bit more awkward, but it's not too bad. It's not too bad. And this next one, it will be whenever you hear these words, and you will remember, well, the end is getting tough there. It will be whenever you hear these words. I'm not sure how it would have worked out. There's probably a way.
We'll be trying.
We'll keep working on it. But that's the idea, though. The main thing is to get the concept. And translations you're going to have to be a little bit more loose with, unfortunately, in this case, because your English readers are going to stand there gawking at you like you said it and wonder what you said. So. But to the Hebrew way of thinking, it's quite a lot of different things. I'll let them see you that tomorrow. They'll sign it tomorrow.
I want to go to this next. I don't think it's after the day.
Simple, yeah.
Now, the only thing I don't know
is a direct reference.
I don't know what to do about the vocabulary problem.
Now,
it seems strange to me that I started out
but
with vocabulary. And the more vocab I get, the worse I get at remembering vocab.
The actual test.
George suggested that maybe I would get to the point where,
as we go through here,
just in trying to cram everything in here, I'm just overloading the system somehow. But then what do I do?
Well, I think that mainly the time that Alexandria's been concentrating his attention to those things, and it does take
so
some amount of time.
So the certain two. In fact, so you might run across one side saying Septuagint is not there. The other side says Septuagint is not there.
I know that you've got the intelligence to do it.
Really good.
You can do it. Well, I know what you mean. I've had time for it, but
there's a variant
to fit together.
That was the thing. I was going to go through it.
It's not that you're going to get off on one thing or another, and it kind of proliferates. You're under pressure. I've got some other things going at the same time. Nobody knows a mad rush and that.
I understand. I know a little bit about what the disagreement is. I've never really got into it.
How does the flow go here? Try to work on getting the flow of the language and feel the way the language flows.